We come from the net.
Through podcasts.
Through headphones.
Through speakers.
To this place.
Your ears.
Our format? Podcasters.
To watch and review.
To watch the show reboot.
Its episodes, old and new.
To defend you from your boredom.
Some say the listeners live outside the net and listen to podcasts for fun.
No one knows for sure, but we're gonna podcast anyway. Welcome to Mainframe.
Hello and welcome back to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, a podcast about Reboot, the animated series. And I am your host, Evan David, and with me as always is my co-host,
John Mitchell.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. We got the season finale going here.
Yeah, the season one finale, the two-part season one finale. And this is the original reboot show. And this is called Identity Crisis, part one and two. And what'd you think?
The first episode flew kind of fast.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was like a normal length episode, but I could be wrong.
I think it was, but yeah, I think it's because the pacing was all different. And
right.
They spent a lot more time, you know, on establishing shots and whatnot because they had...
And build up.
Yeah, they had a longer format with these two episodes. So if you're new to the podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the episode plot point by plot point and just talk about it. And what we liked, what we didn't like. We're going to spoil everything. So if you would like to follow along with us and watch the show first before you listen to the commentary, you can do so at ShoutFactoryTV.com. And they own the... rights to the reboot show, I guess, and you can watch them all there for free legally, and it's great. You can also buy them on Apple iTunes Store if you feel so inclined.
It sounded like you said illegally, but it is.
It is legal. Yes. Yes, we do this show at night, and by this time, with my two kids hanging out with me all day, I am just, my brain is farting all the time. My brain has terrible gas at night.
It's all right.
It's, yeah.
So, you've just moved, so you're
yes,
kind of
yes.
Slowly adjusting to your surroundings.
If we sound a little bit different, we are in my new office, which is in the basement. So it might be a little more echoey because half the walls are concrete. The office isn't all the way set up yet, unfortunately. The only reboot thing I actually have in my office are vintage reboot trading cards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. I haven't seen those.
Let me see if I can find them. John, talk to the people.
Well, so I guess one thing that I was going to say, some people were asking me, so what is reboot like? And Evan will have to agree or disagree with me on this, but I feel like it's a combination of three different shows. So you got Cyber Chase, you got PB on PBS. I feel like Hacker, it's just, they're constantly problem solving, and it just reminds me of that. And then you have, like, the game, like, battles, which is, like, Shaolin Showdown. And then, you kind of have the, I don't know, it feels almost like Cubix a little bit.
You can tell when John grew up by his references that he's making here. And again, I need to remind you, no one alive knows what Cubix is, except for you.
Really? Oh, it's WB, man. It was great. And then they got rid of it.
So I did I should put this in the description. I did a YouTube thing for my other podcast where I went to the shop and got a bunch of vintage trading card packs and just opened them blind and see what I got.
Okay.
And some of them were reboot. And so I got rid of most of the reboot cards, but I kept my favorites. And so here I've got a holographic Enzo card he's in a race car. I think that's from episode two.
Ooh.
And then I've got a Bob card. Just a regular Bob card. He's on his little flying skateboard thing. And then I've got a Megabyte card, and this card is plastic, and it's transparent.
Ooh.
And it's just Megabyte doing a cool Megabyte pose.
You activate my trap card.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Megabyte.
More references from John. Bonus points if you write in, and can you guess how old John is from his references.
Not much younger than you.
Not too much, but it seems enough. That our references are very different from what we would compare things to. Okay.
Well then.
We won't divulge. You need to write in, and if you get it right, if you guess how old John is, we will say your name on the podcast. I don't really have a prize to give you, so
yeah, we're operating on a very low budget. Yeah. So sorry, you're not going to.
Yes, our massive
Bahamas
budget of $0. Actually, that's not true because I have to. I bought the reboot season so we can watch them on my big screen TV instead of the computer. So
our budget of -$.
Yes. Yes. All right, let's get into the episode. Again, we're going to spoil everything, so if you want to bow out and watch the episode first, do it now. And by the way, we're going to do both episodes in this episode, because they really are just like one episode. It's two parts, so that's what we're going to. Anytime we come up with a two-parter, we're just going to do one episode of the podcast for that two-parter. So, nice. Okay, so here we go. So the game opens. It's a peaceful, tranquil scene inside of a game. So mm-hmm. A GameCube has landed, and they are the camera goes inside, and it's like butterflies are flying, and there's a peaceful stream, and Bob is relaxing.
I was rather confused for a moment. I was just like, this is a very different game that we've seen before.
Yeah, at first you wonder, is it a fishing game?
And, yeah, right. That's what I was thinking. And Bob's got a beard and stuff. And I'm like, okay.
But then you look at Bob's clothes and you can kind of tell, okay, it's not a fishing game. He's got a...
hand grenades.
Yeah, he's got hand grenades on him. He's kind of dressed like a commando, and he's got a... he even has like a military helmet next to him resting. Mm-hmm. And so, but then a huge helicopter flies overhead and interrupts the tranquility, and a giant tank comes down.
Mm-hmm. And a B-52 bomber.
Yes,
Stealth bomber.
The tank lifts up Bob in a provocative manner. They're going for the easy laughs.
Uh-huh.
with that. And turns out Enzo's in the tank. It's not the user. It's not a bad guy. And where is the user? The user is horrible at this game.
Very horrible. I don't even know how they got the tank in this position, but he clearly can't drive and can't get out of his sandwiched position, and they're just watching him go back and forth.
And they mentioned the game being an older game, so I don't know exactly what they're trying to reference with this game.
No.
But, they say it's an older game and it's a military game. Anyway, so they're seeing if the B-52 bomber will get the user and destroy him. And it's driven by two binomes, and they fail horribly. What do? They don't open the bomb bay doors and drop a bomb on them. They've got a little tiny
hand grenade bomb.
Well, it's not even a hand grenade. It's like one of those bombs with a lit fuse on it.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And it says bomb on the bomb. And they're going to drop that, but instead they drop it into the engine
whatever. Yeah, it gets sucked into the engine.
The turbines, yeah.
And they're like, oh. Oh, that's not good. And then the steward is like, would you like some tea? And giving them...
I think we're going down, sir. And then they blow up. And they survive, though, because this is a kid's show.
And they parachute out.
They parachute out. Right. If you notice, I'm a big fan of the Bruce Timm, Batman and Superman and Justice League shows. Anytime planes blow up in that, there's always a parachute. Everyone always survives because of the censorship board or whatever that's running all these network shows. They have to not kill people, I guess.
Although this is a pretty intense episode.
This is an intense episode, and we'll get to that. So, all right. So they get out of the game. Oh, and they also mentioned that, you know, this game was super easy.
Right.
And, you know, it's not hard at all. And that's why Bob was relaxing. And Bob makes a passing mention of the Funhouse, which is apparently a super difficult game.
Da, da, da.
And it's so difficult and mythical and rarely inserted into the computer that Enzo thinks it's just a fairy tale. It's a ghost story that is told to scare little sprites.
And then Bob ends the story with a rocket launcher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He gets the rocket launcher and blows up the user. And they win. They win the game. The game goes back up into the sky. And they say, okay, we had to get out of there because it's your sister's big day. So they keep referencing throughout this episode, the beginning of this episode, Dot is, it's her big day. Something's happening. Everybody's congratulating her.
Right.
They're making references to, oh, you better hurry or you're going to be late. And they don't tell us what it is. So she's at the diner and all of a sudden her vision goes wonky.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to see like everybody as viral infected. It's kind of like she's having like a
alternate reality.
Yeah. Like she's phasing into an alternate reality. And everything is looking virally infected, but it's just a vision or a dream or a mirage or something. And then she goes back to normal.
And she hears Fong's voice of, you are now seeing
an altered reality or something.
Right.
And his voice gets all deep and distorted and stuff too. So it's like, is this Fong? Is this really him? Or is it something else pretending to be him? We don't know. Yes, we do, because we watched it. But we don't know at this point in this show. For your sake, fair listeners. Okay, sorry. I've got my notes here. I'm flipping through them. Oh, yeah, the waiter comes up. He's like, everybody's excited for you, Dot. Even the food items. And we look over, and the drinks and the little takeout containers have eyes. And they're like, congratulations, Dot. And then Enzo comes in and knocks him over, and Dot says, Enzo, you're missing your icon. And their icons are those little reboot logo thingies that are on, well, they're on Bob and Dot's chests, like where you would put a name tag.
Right.
But on Enzo, it's on his hat,
mm-hmm.
and it's gone. And apparently it's very bad to lose this. But Bob's got it, and it turns out this is your identification.
Your ping ID.
Yeah, your personal ID codes are inside your icon. And if somebody else gets your personal ID codes, they can do more than steal your identity. They can make you do whatever they want. They can take control of you. So it's a little bit more high stakes identity theft in the computer world.
Right.
They're not just stealing your credit cards and buying stuff.
And you wonder if it's so important, why hasn't Megabyte stolen these things before?
That's a good question, John. A good question, and I wonder if we'll find out the answer later in this episode. So, Dot's been cramming for whatever her big thing is, and Bob's like, Dot, you're fine. You've been going over all this stuff since last minute.
Yeah, it was last minute. And later on, I'll save that for later.
Okay.
But we've been trying to figure out the time for this thing, which
yes.
is incredibly infinitesimally small, which they mentioned 2,000 nanoseconds,
mm-hmm.
which is like 10 to the negative ninth.
Of a second?
Of a second, right.
Right.
And I guess 2,000 nanoseconds is 2 microseconds, which is 10 to the negative sixth.
And 2,000 nanoseconds, as we'll see later in this episode, is like, it's a couple hours maybe to them.
Yes.
Like, it would translate to a couple hours maybe for them. So we keep saying we need to crunch the numbers on this, and we never do. You know why? It's because I'm bad at math, and I don't want to figure it out. But I promise you, season two, the very first episode of season two, I'm going to have the chart.
Okay.
I'm going to figure it out. Either I'm going to make it myself, or I'm going to look it up, and someone else has probably already made it.
Right.
And I'm going to have it. But not right now, because we're in the middle of an episode. Okay, so Dot changes into her business clothes, which are like a blouse and a skirt.
And she's got glasses.
And yeah, she's got glasses.
Which we've never seen this outfit before, I don't think.
I don't think we've seen this particular outfit. She's worn glasses before. Like anytime she's going over financial stuff, she puts the glasses on. I think she had them when she was talking to the Crimson Binome about all his financial stuff.
that was a good episode.
Yes, I love that one. And Bob puts on sunglasses, like aviator glasses, for some reason.
Like security or something, or like Secret Service or whatever, I don't know.
So they're walking down this like really sketchy hallway, and it's like a viral hallway. It's got Megabyte logos all over it, lots of graffiti. And once again, I'm trying to see the graffiti, you know, what are the Easter eggs are they putting in there? I couldn't see a lot of it, but some of it said, smash the solid state. And, you know, like instead of smash the state, you know, because we're,
right.
But it's solid state because a solid state
hard drives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Computer humor. So the sketchy hallway opens up into a huge amphitheater. And by the way, to get in this hallway, they had to do like a secret knock. And the guy opens up the slidey thing, and you see his eyes like, "What's the passcode?"
It's us. And they let him in.
Yeah. And so it opens up into this huge amphitheater. It's probably one of the biggest set pieces we've seen in the show so far. At least one of the biggest interior spaces we've seen. And it's just filled to the brim with binomes who are clapping for Dot and Bob, who are coming out onto the stage. And so everybody's worried, and apparently Dot is going to need all of their personal ID codes, which we just learned about from Enzo and his losing his icon. And they need these ID codes so they can officially register all these guys into the principal office system, because they're living in one of Megabyte's sectors that he's taken over. They're not viral infected, but their sector is. And so apparently if they're able to get their codes into the main system outside of Megabyte's sector, they will officially be integrated into the computer and free from Megabyte's power, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but apparently this, they've never done this before.
Correct.
They're like, we haven't...
Fong said it.
Reclaimed Megabyte's sector since never.
Yes. And so once the sector is converted, apparently the whole sector, like the buildings and the infrastructure, will be converted as well and turned into a energy park, like a place that will generate energy for the rest of the system. So that's pretty interesting. So it takes some convincing for the people to give over their stuff, because their spokesperson, Cyrus, who's this guy with like a poofy hairstyle and he's got one white streak down his, you know, his hair. He says, you know, if somebody else gets these codes, they would control us. If Megabytes gets the codes, the little freedom we have is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're totally under his power and control. And so Dot says, just trust me, I will not let that happen. I'm going to guard these with my life. I don't know if you guys heard that. It's my new road that I live on. People just like to just rev their motorcycle engines night and day.
A bit busier than your last road.
Yes. Okay, so she finally convinces everybody, and they give over their codes. And when they do that, it's like a little like firefly light flies out of there.
It reminds me of Pokemon, the first movie, when like they're all crying.
The Pokemon tears.
Tears are coming in and reviving Ash. It reminded me of
more
that.
References from John, ladies and gentlemen.
I got my Pokemon reference first time. I like it.
Yes, but it does remind me of that. Because all the glowy lights, they flow into Dot's tablet. And once again, she's got a tablet in 1993 that functions exactly like an iPad does. And it was years and years before that was ever going to be feasible technology.
Yeah, I think they were just coming out with the Palm Pilot at
pretty
this
neat.
Point.
I do not know. I'm not going to comment on that because I do not know. So anyway, she gets all the codes, but then as soon as she does, we see that Hack and Slash are looming, and then they bust in there with all of Megabyte's hover tanks, and they're shining spotlights on everybody. They're like, what are you doing? This is an unauthorized activity or whatever. And then Megabyte shows up with all of his, you know, he opens a bunch of vid windows across the stage, and he's like, what is happening here? Who dares disrupt the order of my system?
Dun, dun, dun.
Cyrus is able to lead Dot and Bob down a secret hatch in the stage, and it drops down into the sewers. And so the bad guys are chasing them. I thought this was interesting. The bad guys are chasing them. They go down the hatch. They shut the hatch. And then the bad guys just blow up the hatch. But when they blow it up, there's no tunnel.
Right. It's all covered up with rubble. Yes. So I guess it, I don't know, blocked the hole, I guess. I don't know.
Who knows? So anyway, they're down in the sewers. They're flying on their little hover boards. And then the bad guys are following them now. So, let's see. Where am I in my notes? But I was just freestyling here.
But one thing we forgot to mention is that right after they got all the ping IDs together, they're like congratulating her on stage, blah, blah, blah. And then she turns, and I totally call this. I'm like, oh no, it's gonna be gone. And she turns, and it's gone.
Yes, the
and
tablet was gone. You're right.
And they're like, oh! And I'm like, Hacking Slash took it because they just showed them. However, the mayor has it.
The Cyrus, the Cyrus. Spokesperson yeah. for the. And John calls it right then. He's like, he stole the code.
He swapped the or swapped it or stole the code or whatever. Yeah. And then he gives it back to him, but they don't check it, of course.
Correct. And so I wasn't going to call that. I haven't seen this in a long time, so I didn't remember. But you're absolutely right. He did steal the codes. And then we should have known because he had that white streak of hair. Nobody just has a white streak of hair and is not evil. We've seen cartoons before. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on.
I feel like and Cyrus is just like a name of importance and
yeah, good like or a bad guy name. If anybody's listening and your name is Cyrus,
we're sorry.
You know you're evil.
Just remember, Cyrus the Great, he conquered a lot of stuff for the Persian Empire. Yes, Cyrus the Great.
There you go.
And he also let the Israelites go back to Israel because Babylon took them, but then the Persian guy, Cyrus the Great, let him go back.
Nice.
With Nehemiah?
History.
Boom. And back to mainframe. The sewer chase.
So Cyrus has got a cube flashlight that kind of looks like a white Tesseract from Avengers. Yes. But he's... But it's a flashlight. It's like a... You know, he's holding it and they're going through the tunnels. Once again, this is good for the show because the camera is following him through the tunnels in a way that you couldn't do... as well in 2D animation
because it was
you're
cool.
just moving through the geometry of the scenes. Pretty neat. So when you look back up at the people who've been left behind, which is pretty much everybody except for Bob Dot and Cyrus,
right.
And the bad guys are herding them in, you know, through prison gates and onto prison transports and things. Megabyte is asking, you know, who did this? Who organized this thing? And Hack and Slash are like, the feminine thing. The girly one. Dot Matrix. As if she's the only woman. Well, I guess she is.
Yeah, like, no, she is.
She's the only feminine-looking woman, because the rest are binomes. And the only way you could tell that they're women is their dress, I guess, right. You know? Dot's the only humanoid woman, besides Mouse, but Mouse is not in...
And Hexadecimal, which you know is
yes,
female.
Yes, yes.
But the only good... Female.
Yes. Feminine looking person is Dot. So yeah, makes sense.
which makes sense why they have trouble describing her because no one else is like her except her.
Yeah. And so Fong is on the phone with them and she's like, okay, the bad guys took over, so you need to delete those codes, those personal ID codes. Oh, excuse me. I tried to power through it. But it came out anyway.
Well, better out the attic than the basement, as I always say. Name nice. That movie.
More references from John. okay, so, yeah. So they're like, you need to delete those codes, Dot. And she's like, no, I will not do it. I will not give up. Oh, she is in a stubborn format. I love all the computer slang.
And Bob is just like, we're all gonna die.
Yeah, he's like, we're doomed. Let me put it delicately. We're doomed. And so then they do a great thing. They come to a fork in the road, but they were already on the fork, mm-hmm. and the two tunnels are converging into one. So logically, they should just go straight because it'll be fastest. But instead, they get to the fork and then they turn around hard right, and go through the other fork, and the bad guys just go straight and they lose them. Pretty clever.
But pretty temporarily.
Yes, the bad guys find them again. They find a shaft that leads up to a manhole on the street, the bad guys find them. But Cyrus sacrifices himself.
How noble.
Yes, he jumps down and he lets himself be captured by the bad guys to let Bob and Dot escape. He's a hero. Really? Yeah.
Or is he?
Dot steals a transport. We don't know how.
Yeah. Bob literally can't get out of the manhole because other tanks keep coming over him and flattening him back down. And then somehow he's like, Dot, where are you? And then
she's already stolen a thing.
Yeah, and she like runs him over again, basically. And we don't know how she got out.
Yeah. It's just one of those funny cartoon things. Bob says, oh, Dot, you're going crazy today. She's like, I'm on a mission, Bob. Stay out of my way. So she's
taking charge.
Yeah, she's hardcore. But then as they're driving, she has another virus vision again where she's seeing everything virally infected, and Fong's creepy voice is on there again. They're continuing to be chased by bad guy tanks. They do a Millennium Falcon move where they twist sideways to get through a thing, and it very much reminded me of the scene from Solo, the Star Wars movie,
okay,
where he and his girlfriend are in the speeder, and they're in that alleyway.
Yes.
Because these tanks are in an alleyway, too, and they're finding they do the same move where they get through.
Maybe they stole it from that.
Yeah. Solo, they were watching Reboot, and they stole it. If you hear those sounds, we're right below my children who are upstairs sliding stuff across the floor. Okay, yeah, and then we get some more computer cussing from Bob. Those dip switches. Apparently it's a common insult. This is not the first time we've heard that. Okay, so finally, when they do the Millennium Falcon thing, John's like, why aren't they shooting these guys?
Yeah, they're in a tank being chased and shot at by other tanks.
Yeah, so they could be shooting. And then right after that, Bob's like, can I do the big gun? And Dot's like, fine. So then he gets in the gunner seat and he starts shooting stuff. He misses. The missiles knock down a giant platform, a giant tower. And he's like, oops. What do you mean, oops?
And then it lands on some of the tanks. He's like, oh, never mind. Oh, yep. We're good.
He destroyed them. It was great.
We didn't die. They did. We're good.
Okay.
They didn't die. They were flat.
Right. We don't know if they lived or died, even though they were incredibly crushed. So they escape Megabyte Sector. But then Megabyte makes an announcement. And he says, thank you, Dot, for collaborating with me and giving me all the codes. So he's making this announcement to turn the populace against Dot. But Dot is like, what is he talking about? She checks her tablet and the codes are gone. They are missing. Who could have stolen them?
The spokesperson.
Cyrus. Yes. And he's given it to Megabyte and they have the codes. But they were encrypted because everything on Dot's tablet gets encrypted. We'll find out later, and so they can't access the codes yet. It will take 2,000 nanoseconds, as you've said, to decrypt them, which in Reboot world turns out to be a couple of hours, maybe. So the guys who are trying to dissect this are two doctors.
Mm-hmm.
They're binomes dressed up as doctors. They're viral binomes and they have German accents. So it's clearly like Nazi scientists trying to.
There's a lot of Nazi comparisons, I guess.
With this episode for sure.
Yeah.
We'll get to them. It's but there's more, yeah. Well, that's what they do with Star Wars and the Empire. The Empire is just Nazis. It's right. Just fascism, right. You know. We reveal that Cyrus was the one all along. Yes, and then he gets promoted to lieutenant, and he and Megabyte join together in an evil laugh. Cracks me up, man, because it's just so cheesy, but it's great. Dot has another vision of a post-apocalyptic, viral-infected future, but she's now lost hope. She's given up, basically, because she's doomed all these people, an entire sector of innocent people she swore to protect will soon be under Megabyte's complete control. And it's all her fault, as she says. And so this is where we get, you know, the two parts of the title of this episode, Identity Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's Identity Crisis 1 because you've stolen the identity codes for everybody, but Identity Crisis 2 is because Dot begins to doubt herself. And she says, you know, it'd be better if I'd never gotten involved. It'd be better if I wasn't even around. As they're saying this, you know, it'd be better if I was never born. I wish I'd never been born. I'm getting feels from It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm.
You know, where at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, if you've never seen that movie, we get this guy is shown by an angel how life would be, how the world would be, how all of his relationships would be if he was not there to be in them. And I wonder if we're going to see something like that in this episode, I'm wondering. And spoilers, we are. So then as she is moping, a game is coming down. And as luck would have it, again, it's coming down directly on top of Bob and Dot. And it comes down on them. And what game is it?
Why? The Fun House.
It's none other than the Fun House. Why? Who could have seen that coming?
And of course it's clowns.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it's clowns and it's a circus. So this is where the episode ends, to be continued, and now we go on to the next episode, Identity Crisis Part 2, and we pick up right where we left off. They're in the game. Bob reboots his costume, and he's a clown. He kind of looks like Ronald McDonald a little bit.
Yeah.
The same kind of mouth makeup. Dot does not reboot because she has become so apathetic. She's like, why? What's the point of even rebooting? Because I'm not going to be any help. And Bob's like, the point? How about not getting nullified? How about saving people? So she finally reboots. Oh, all right. And she turns into a clown with a teardrop, face painted on. The sad clown. So then they are walking toward the tent. So apparently the objective of this game is to get to the end before the user. Or the user's objective is to get to the end before the computer players. And they're walking. They're normal proportions, except for their feet, which are in giant clown shoes, and I hate them. They're just so creepy looking. And somebody is tossing exploding pies at them. They hide behind a pole, and once again, they use their cartoon powers to conceal their entire bodies behind this pole, but stick out just pole. The top of their head. And then we see the user, who is terrifying.
The creepiest clown you've seen in a while.
Yes.
Other than it, but I haven't seen that movie, so let's just say this is the most terrifying clown I've seen.
He's real creepy, and he's creepier because the way they have modeled the clown, it's very different from how they've modeled the rest of the people. The geometry of the sprites and the humanoid figures are very, they're straightforward. They're what you would normally expect. But this, they don't have the capacity or the ability, I guess, to do crazy modeling stuff. And so they've used their limited abilities to their advantage with their polygons and the triangle way to render things. And they've just made this jagged looking
horrifying
clown. He's so creepy. It's great. So then they go into the entrance of this carnival tent, which is a mouth that swallows them.
Yeah. It eats them with its tongue and brings them into the tent.
They basically go down the tent's esophagus and then come out the other side. So then, apparently, and I don't know where this comes from, Fong has the ability to see into the game somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a new ability. Yeah. This was very random and like, oh, that's different.
He's not done this before, and I don't know if he does it afterwards either, but we'll see. I can't remember. But he has a vid window into the game. He sees that Dot is still struggling worse than he thought, and he's like, I've got to get to her somehow and encourage her or else her mopiness is going to lose this game and she'll die. And so will Bob and everybody else in that, in the area who got sucked up into the game. So
nullify.
Yes. They go down a twisty tunnel and then they end up in a room with doors. And Bob says, okay, these doors, there's one of them is going to lead to the final challenge and the other ones do not. He opens the wrong one, ropes come out, and they tie around him and turn him into a puppet, and then he's gone. He's like, well, Dot, this is it for me.
It's all on you.
You have to beat the game. And he just is gone. He's not coming back. And so Dot is left alone to finish the game, and she doesn't feel like it. She's like, I can't do it. It shouldn't be up to me because it'd be better if I wasn't even here.
I failed everyone.
But somehow, Fong shows up inside the game.
Yeah.
Somehow he has made it into the game. I don't know if it's really him or if it's a code that is resembling him.
Right.
But somehow he puts these devices on Dot's temples, which access her brain and slip her into a vision. And it's very similar to the visions we've already seen.
Right.
That she's been seeing. And so the vision starts, she wakes up, and apparently it's been years since they entered that game. She wakes up in the giant crater that used to be the area where the game landed. It's a giant cube-shaped crater.
Right.
Everything is just gone inside it, and somehow she's alive. So she crawls out, and she's looking at everything. Everybody is viral infected, just like she had been seeing. It's a post-apocalyptic. Megabyte has one future. She's seeing people being led into, jail and being prodded with sticks to go work, electrified sticks. We see Frisket being led away, mm-hmm. and I notice that he's got a barcode on his butt. And I'm thinking, that's a new barcode on your butt, Frisket. But then we look and everybody's got the barcode now.
The mark of the beast.
Well, they call it the mark. She does not have the mark. And so that's like, okay, that's a little creepy. It is very reminiscent of a mark on the beast sort of situation. Or the mark of the beast. So then there is a floating arm camera droid thing that looks kind of like the droid from Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. That one. And he sees Dot, and so Dot runs away from that. She goes to back to her diner, but it's not her diner anymore. It's Nibble's diner. And we don't know who Nibble is. At least I don't.
Yeah, I mean, we don't find out.
I don't remember. Maybe he's another character. I can't remember. But yeah, we go inside, and it's horrible. There's just people everywhere. They're all viral infected. One guy is eating a null, which is horrible. That used to be a person, a living sentient person, and now he's eating it. Everybody has beer. Now, it's not technically beer because you could not do that in a kid show, but it's clearly beer.
Right.
Everybody's just got bottles, and they've got the Megabyte logo on it.
Speaking of Megabyte.
Yes.
When we saw Dot in the diner right when she had her flashback, for whatever reason, there was a Megabyte head behind her.
I think it was him in a vid window or like a billboard with him on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was weird though, but it was before this whole thing.
Right, is when she was seeing the visions before. So the patron, she gets mad at everybody. She's like, this is my diner. This is the best diner in Mainframe. And they're like, it's not Mainframe anymore. It's Megaframe.
Da-da-da.
Yes, and we realize her waiter Cecil has been replaced by just a robot that has no soul or personality. And then Enzo walks in. And Enzo is now a street thug biker dude with a scar on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a horrible tiny teenage mustache going on. And just looks really bad. He's got a barcode on his forehead.
Yep.
More Mark of the Beast parallels there.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a barcode on his forehead. And so this is some interesting foreshadowing, people in the know. That's all I'm going to say about that. he's got an earring. He's got an earring on one ear. It's like, oh, man, Enzo, what have you done? Like, what has happened to you, buddy? The security drone comes back. And Dot's pleading with Enzo. She's like, please, I'm your sister. He doesn't believe her because he's like, my sister is dead. She died a long time ago. Please, where's Bob and Fong? Oh, you want to see, Bob and Fong, huh? Well, they're down on level so-and-so. And he
31, I think.
Okay. He throws her out of the diner. And the graffiti guy, so then she's walking through, some graffiti guys get arrested. She's just seeing more of like this, the secret police are arresting people, and then she goes into this alley where she feels like she hears Fong, and he's in like this cardboard box, and out of the cardboard box comes the penguin from Wallace and Gromit.
Yes.
Like, what? Why is the penguin from Wallace and Gromit here? And it's clearly him. Like, that is the exact penguin from that. There's no explanation.
From the bad trousers.
Yeah, he walks out, looks at Dot, walks away. There's no explanation. There is no explanation. Then Fong comes out, and he's like this sewer rat type of guy. He's got green eyes now, and he's, all dirty and messy, and he's looking around in his little drawer that he has inside of him for stuff. And she's like, Fong, what happened? Where is Bob? And he pulls out Bob, and Bob has been turned into a null. And he keeps him in a little birdcage-like thing. And this is, this is the point where Dot's like, oh, no, not Bob. That can't be Bob.
He used to be a great guardian. No one believed me, but here he is now.
And he's so cute. And she says, oh, no, this can't be the future. And then Fong snaps out of his old crazy guy routine and he says, "The future is not determined by the throw of a dice, but by decisions, conscious decisions made by you and me. Do you want to buy a pizza or something?" Then he turns back into the old, you know, the old man thing. So, and there's the moral right there. We have spelled it out. The future is up to you and me and our decisions we make. The power is yours, Planeteers. There's an Evan reference for you. So then the bad guys find him. They're like, "Call Lieutenant Cyrus." And we see Lieutenant Cyrus, and he's decked out in, you know, military general regalia. He's got the medals on, and he's got a sweet hat. It's a sweet, like, German officer hat with a Megabyte logo on it. They chase Dot. They grab her. The evil droid comes, grabs her, and holds her, and then puts a horrible helmet of death on her. And it's like it's a thing that completely covers her head, and it's just like, what horrible things are happening to her inside the helmet. Uh-huh. And it really reminds me of John Christopher's The Tripod series, where people get capped. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, Go and read the books. And I'll put a link in the description. There is a episode we did on my other podcast, Strangers and Aliens. It's one of my favorite book series, The Tripod series.
Wow.
Read it. It's awesome. And I'll put the link so you can listen to the episode and see if you want any more information about that. But it reminds me of that. But anyway, after they pull the helmet off, her head has been shaved, and she has received the mark on her forehead.
Yep.
And she looks in the mirror, and she's horrified by what she sees, which snaps her out of her visions. Everybody else vanishes into the darkness, Alice in Wonderland style. She comes out of the vision. She's back in the game, and Fong is there, and he's like, "You still have time." And then he disappears like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And so then Dot's like, "I still have time." So she begins to race the user and really try. She gets into the other thing. They're on a track that looks like a bowling lane, mm-hmm. but it's a windy bowling lane, and they're on tricycles. And the clown is horrifying. He's on this tricycle, beeping the horn. He's just so scary.
And he does weird stuff with his tongue. He's like,
"Aah!" Yeah, yes. And her tricycle tires are popped, so she's at a disadvantage. She's going down the hallway. She's trying to slow him down by, like, calling him names, and he looks backwards and trips over something or something.
He runs into, like, bowling pins.
Yeah, he runs into bowling. And then he flips a switch, and a giant bowling ball.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, starts going after her down the... It's very clever. And then she manages to get out of the alley or the bowling lane before the bowling ball crushes her. And now they're at the final challenge, which is a carnival squirt gun game.
Do they still have this at Chuck E. Cheese?
They might still have it at Chuck E. Cheese. He's talking about a local Chuck E. Cheese, but it's a common carnival arcade game sort of thing where you're spraying this, you know, usually it's like a clown mouth or your target or something, yeah. and you're spraying it with water, and it's making your score go up. And in this case, it's making this ball go up as the little thing where the ball is in fills with water. And if it gets to the top, you win. The clown is she's got a way big head start on Dot, but that's not going to stop Dot, because she's going to defy the laws of physics. And the clown's so confident that he's going to win, but then Dot decides to squeeze the hose that leads into her water gun and cause a buildup. And the buildup is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the clown is like inches from the top and winning. And then she releases it, and all the water goes in at once.
Fire hoses.
And puts her to the top, and the clown loses. And they win the game. So then they come out of the game. Fong is there. He's like, "Congratulations, Doc. Here is the moral of the story." And Bob comes up. He's like, "You won. What's the deal, Fong? What are you doing here?" And they both give each other like knowing looks, Fong and Dot. She has another viral vision. And now it's a vision of something good happening. It's a vision of the sector being turned into
the power
station. That power station that she wanted to turn it into. And Fong explains that those little things he put on her temples, they send out waves of reality distortion into the past and the future.
Right.
So that's why she was seeing visions, is because of those things that were on her head. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, and it's an RDE, reality distortion something. I couldn't remember what the E stood for. But, yeah. So then they're like, let's go, you know, there's still time because Megabyte is guarding the borders, which means he hasn't converted everybody yet. Right. There's still time to save everybody. So they get back in their stolen tank and they're going to drive back in there. As they walk to the tank, we see the horrible walk cycles again. Now, every time they walk on their feet, I've been looking to see, to make sure, like, are they getting better? And they have been. It's just not in this shot, though.
Right.
It doesn't look good. So then we go back into the Megabyte control sector and we see a full-on concentration camp where... Yep. Yeah, where, I mean, that's just what it is. It's a concentration camp. And they've got all the guys in there. They're waiting to file them in to be, you know, converted. And so Bob and Dot, they're loading them up on transports and stuff. And so Bob and Dot pull their transport, and then they steal a number of people, and they're going to free them. They drive off, and they reveal themselves like, hey, we're driving this. And all the guys are like, oh, yay, it's Dot. Like, Dot, we don't. And she's worried that they all hate her because of what happened. But they're like, Dot, you know, before we get converted and enslaved, we just want you to know we still appreciate everything you did for us. It's like, man, this guy's an optimist. Like, he's got a really good attitude. Uh-huh. So then they say, okay, we're going to – let's go sneak into Megabyte's fortress and set things right. So then we cut to Megabyte inside of his fortress. The encryption has been cracked. They're about to start the conversion process, but something has gone wrong. And we look outside, and Dot has hardwired – like, she's got thick cables running
major cables.
Running – like, fiber optic cables running from – Megabyte's fortress into her tablet, and she has managed to re-download the files off of Megabyte's server and onto her tablet, and so Megabyte no longer has the files.
Oh yeah, and she was able to like miniaturize her tablet into like a cell phone.
Yes,
earlier
for then ease of carry.
Right, and then made it bigger for this scene.
So then the bad guys say, you know, turn around. And there's Dot on the window, and she does an announcement similar to what Megabyte did when she's like, I just want to thank Cyrus for helping me with this clever, clever plan. And then she goes off, and now Megabyte thinks that Cyrus betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, go ahead and convert him. I need a new shoeshine droid. So from lieutenant to shoeshine droid, that's what happens when you're evil. So don't be evil, listeners.
Moral of the story.
So then they take the codes, and Fong enters them into the official registry or whatever, and the entire sector is retransformed into a energy thing, and everybody's happy. And then Bob's like, do you like what you see, Dot? And Dot looks in the mirror, and she says, yeah, I sure do.
Looking at herself.
Yes, looking at herself. Because she had an identity crisis, and now she realized who she really is. So, yeah, good finale, sort of. Not really.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, I definitely with the build-up, like, for part one episode, I was expecting a much bigger, like, battle or, like, more tense resolution, everything, not such a, oh, wait, I'm going to put giant wires in my tablet and hack your system and take the code right back.
Right, right.
And it was very quick.
Yes, it was anticlimactic, and the stakes, I mean, they were high, but you didn't feel it because they spent all the time on the, you know, the what if I was never born plot line. But thankfully, our podcast, much like the temple things that that Fong put on Dot, it broadcasts into the past and future. And thankfully, the creators of Reboot have listened to this episode, and they listened to your comments about how it wasn't epic enough, and they are responding by making the second season. Which is much better. Much, much better. And it has a much better season finale as well. And all you guys who watched it know what I'm talking about. So that's good. All right. Anything else you want to say there, John, before we leave? our next episode. So in between seasons, we're going to take a break from covering the episodes, and we're going to do a movie or some other content that that is like reboot adjacent. So next week, or the next episode that comes out, is going to be about Tron, the original movie, and we're going to see how other people have visualized life inside the computer.
Mainframe.
Yes. So we're gonna check it out. We're going to check out the original Tron on the next episode, and then after that, we'll start season two. So stay tuned. Well, anyway, that's the episode, guys. So thanks for listening, and... Sounds like the guy from the brother of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes. Yeah. Vote for me in all your dreams. No,
that's Pedro. Pedro. That's Pedro. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, this guy, like, I always love technology. Always and forever. And we do. We do always love technology that brings us reboot. Always and forever. All right. See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, hosted by Evan David and John Mitchell. You've heard from us, now we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email or voice message at welcometomainframe@gmail.com. Dare to venture out onto the web and visit our site at welcometomainframe.com. Welcome to Mainframe is a proud member of the Relevant to Your Interests podcast network.